Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
But this might be my favorite sports story of all of 2022 to date.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Where did he set me?
In cheek. Over a fantasy football league.
Jock Peterson slapped by Tommy Pham of the Cincinnati Reds. Will Smith style.
Wow, dude.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran. NFL Network analyst David Carr. Still to come, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it's hour number three of the program here on the first day of June, right in the middle of this week in 2022. The organized team activity world in the NFL is white hot to the touch. Who's there, who's not, and what does that mean? That is pretty much what June is quite a bit about. We chatted with David Carr in hour number two about his prediction that the Jets were going to make the playoffs, and he told us some interesting things about Davante Adams and his bro and how attached at the hip they've been for a long time. So if you missed any of that, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We kick off our third hour of this program, however, by saying hello to one of our favorites from the NFL media group on the Mercedes-Benz van phone line, the man who's a must-follow at Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport. How you doing, Ian?
What's going on, Rich? How are you?
How'd you hit him?
Really bad.
Okay.
I played terrible. I shot a 49 on the front.
Okay.
And was like, this is really just a disaster. Including a birdie on 18, and I'm like, all right, I'm back.
Okay. All right, very good. Are you there? Did you just connect by Bluetooth in the middle of all that, Ian? Like in the middle of your sad golf, sorted golf tale, you connected to Bluetooth or something like that? You there?
Yeah. No, that was, sorry. That was a bad situation.
Sure, like your golf.
I'm watching the Mets game on the iPad.
Ah.
So,
very good. Yes. Okay, so if
the
you're...
AirPods picked up the iPad, so we got a situation going.
Okay.
I'm going to try again to put them in. We'll see if I can do it.
Well, you can't do that anymore to us because we don't have the express written consent of the Commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I can't get in any trouble. I do hear you. Thanks for calling
Let's
in.
Let's go. All right.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. So Kyler Murray is at organized team activities. Our colleague Mike Garofalo is calling it a show of good faith. What can you tell us about what this means, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my biggest question, Rick, you can hear me okay, right?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. My biggest question was, does this mean he got a new contract? And it does not. You know, I think what this is, like, Kyler, you know, took a stance. He didn't show up. He showed everyone he's not happy. He has done that a couple of times, as has his agent, Eric Burkhardt, has done it a couple of times this offseason to be like, we want a new contract. We want it yesterday. Here is our view. The team is kind of on the same page. The team wants to give him a new contract. Steve Keim has been on the record a couple of different times saying that he believes it will get done, and they love Kyler Murray. So I feel like it's like, well, you've made a point, made a good point. It's important to the team to be there. So, like, your point is noted, and show up. And I think that's what he did. Like, I trust you guys. We're on the same page. We all want to get it done. I'm just going to show up, and let's go play football. And that's kind of how I feel it is for Kyler Murray.
Well, I mean, he's not getting traded. Draft's come and gone. Even after the draft, you know, Steve Keim said he's not getting traded. So that avenue is at least shut down for 2022. And so it's either hold out or not, and could this possibly mean that they've already had the parameters of a conversation, and Burkhardt is like telling his client, you know, things are trending in the right direction, you should show up? Is that the way it might be going?
Yeah, I mean, I would say they've definitely had conversations. I feel like it is all right, like, they're serious, we're serious, it's not done yet, but we can see that they're actually trying to get it done. So that is why it makes sense to me for him to show up. And, you know, all of these things, these like sort of OTA show-ups, non-show-ups, are all sort of symbolic. Like, it really doesn't affect anyone, honestly. You know, absent a few rookies, maybe a few quarterbacks, it's not that consequential if someone shows up in, you know, June or May when we play football in, like, September. So it's all really symbolic. It feels like he made a symbolic point. The Cardinals responded with their symbolic point. They've started talking. Seems things are going to be okay.
So what's the deal with Lamar? He's calling out Chris Sims, our colleague here on NBC Sports on Peacock, you know, on Twitter, saying he's just there. He's not at voluntary organized team activities because it's voluntary. Find something else to talk about is what he tweeted at Chris Sims, but he's still not there. And I don't know. There's nothing to compare it to. At least with Kyler, you know, we've heard contract conversations and guy wants his money. But I don't have any frame of reference. I wonder what insight you've got on this, Ian.
I mean, the insight I have is this actually, in a weird way, is kind of the first time that Lamar Jackson spoke about himself in this way. Like, we've talked about, and I've talked about, the different things that I believe that Lamar Jackson wants, including including basically to play out the fifth-year option, then go franchise tag, and do a deal that way, you know, become a free agent like Kirk Cousins. That's what it feels like he wants. But he speaks very, very little about himself, and he doesn't have an agent. And his mother handles some things personally for him, and she doesn't talk to the media hardly ever. So this is actually one of the few times that he has spoken and been like, relax, everyone, I'll be there. This is just voluntary. I know he has been in L.A. working with Adam Dado, who is one of the noted QB gurus. He works with John Beck in L.A. on a sort of quarterback factory situation where they go help refine the talents. And I believe Lamar has been out there. So, you know, if he's using this time to continue that work, that might make sense to him, although the team would like him there. So, anyway, his message was noted, but the whole thing was really interesting.
So, does he get paid? I mean, what happens here? I mean, does that happen, or he's definitely not entertaining that at all right now, best you can tell?
I just have not heard anything about him entertaining it. I mean, maybe that changed. Like, you know, like, you can say you don't want a deal. At some point, there's a deal that's too good to ignore, right? Like, everyone sort of has a price for things. It's hard to imagine he goes, you know, I want no deal no matter what, right? So he hasn't gotten to any point where he would, you know, respond to an offer or engage in anything. So, like, is it possible just nothing happens and he goes fifth-year option, franchise tag? Like, that actually is possible.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show. I keep feeling like it's Groundhog Day, like what's going on with the league and Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield and what options there are. I mean, today, fresh off of the word that there's a 23rd active civil lawsuit that's now been filed against Deshaun Watson. Kevin Stefanski spoke and said he's just going to leave it up to the legal process. That's just yet another coach saying that about Deshaun Watson. And Mayfield's still sitting there. And what is the Browns' plan? Like, literally, what is the Cleveland Browns' plan for this situation? Right now,
first thing they need to know is what is the disciplinary decision for Deshaun Watson? Is he suspended? Is he not suspended? If he is suspended, how many games? You know, let's say it's 8 games. And I don't know that it is or isn't. I don't even know if that's a ballpark, but let's just say for the sake of the conversation, it is. They will need a starting quarterback for 8 games. They have a quarterback on their roster who led them to the playoffs, who would like to resurrect his career, who currently has no home. I know they had conversations, especially during the draft with the Carolina Panthers. There were offers made. The two sides could not come to any sort of agreement. And the Panthers are moving forward with Sam Darnold until they are not. But if you're the Browns, like, the leverage you have is we could just keep him. And, yes, it would not be the most fun thing for Baker Mayfield to have to go out and play for the Browns after what happened. On the other hand, the team is very good. And the personnel is really good. And might he perform well enough to have someone else go, you know what, that's my quarterback? Possibly. And that's what I keep thinking about.
Or they get him to a different spot and Jacoby Brissett's their guy, right? I mean, so you're saying that there is a conversation that's been had in the Browns building, best we can tell, where they do look at each other and go, we might need Baker for the full 16. So let's just give him his shot here and hope he wins it here. And then what? Send him on his way? Like if everything goes to the best of their possibility, it's still the swan song because they've got somebody who is on the hook for $45 million for the year, right? I mean, is that literally what the reason why they're holding on to Baker is they think he's suspension insurance and a guy who is so clearly not wanting to be there will just turn around and do it? Like there's literally a faction of the Browns who thinks that's a viable option for them with him.
I don't know specifically that the Browns have said we may need him for full 16 or 17, I guess. I don't know that conversation has happened, but I do know that there have been conversations about we could need this guy for many games. And Jacoby Brissett is fine. He has not solidified himself as a starter in the league, but he has been a totally fine backup. Just totally fine. Baker Mayfield, on the other hand, is expensive. You are paying for him anyway, unless you can get someone to take on a portion of the salary, which they have tried to do. But if you're paying for him anyway, and he might start multiple games, like, yes, let's just play this forward. Let's say he starts through the trade deadline and you can't trade him. Okay, well, you're paying him all that money anyway. At the end of the year, he's going to leave and you'll get a compensatory pick for whoever signs him. So might you get a third round pick? Probably in a couple years for him. Yeah, that's your sort of leverage is you might need some suspension insurance and he's literally on your team currently.
At Rap Sheet on Twitter, Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show from the NFL Media Group as well on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. So I had David Carr on last hour. He earned a phone call from me, that's for darn sure, when he predicted the Jets would make the playoffs and then name checked me on last night's NFL Total Access. That was an easy booking to ask David to come on. He had the time to also talk about his brother. And he mentioned that Devontae Adams attempted to get to the Raiders a couple years ago before. Like this was not just a long time dream that he decided to take his shot on right now, that he tried it before. Had you heard the same thing? Anything on that front, Ian?
I hadn't heard specifically that he had tried before. I mean, but I did know that when people talk about the Packers situation, they say, you know, what went wrong? Why couldn't the Packers pay him? You know, what did the Packers do to upset him? It wasn't really like that. The Packers tried to pay him. They actually offered him more then the Raiders are going to pay him over the first 3 years of the deal. This was a player who wanted to be in Las Vegas. He wanted to be with one of his good friends, Derek Carr. It was a long-standing relationship. And Devontae Adams' relationship with Aaron Rodgers on field is one of the best I can remember and I've ever seen in the last decade. Like, it is amazing. Off the field, it's professional, but not much more. So when, you know, if you're Devontae Adams and you say, well, you know, I'd like to sign for 5 years, and you're not sure for the last year or so how long the quarterback's going to be there, if he's going to be there. Is it going to be 1 year? Is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be 3 years? Like, but if it's the Raiders, like, you know that quarterback's not going anywhere. The Raiders were more appealing to him. So, what David said doesn't surprise me because this has been a longstanding thing for Devontae Adams.
So outside of the organized team activities, what else is the story of this month or leading into training camp? Is it Gronk? What's his status and thoughts? And, you know, or if you got an answer on that, you know, lead yourself into what you think we're not talking about going into the OTA season here, Ian.
Gronk is interesting. You know, the indications I've got is that he's going to play. I know, like, he came out and said it, and then his agent kind of walked it back, and then he walked it back again, and I don't know. I mean, for Tom Brady to come back, And then if Gronk decides not to, like, that would be a surprise. I don't know when that's going to be, but I would imagine at some point before training camp we will get some Gronk news, and that it'll probably be good news. I would say, you know, the Aaron Donald story is interesting to me. You know, he has come out and said, you know, basically gave credence to the why retirement is attractive, he might retire talk. The Rams have said talks are trending in the right direction. You know, when and if that gets wrapped up is obviously going to be a major deal. You know, other than that, I think it's a lot of waiting. It's waiting for Garoppolo. When does something happen with him, or does he just show up to training camp and just take part in practice? What about Baker? You know, it's Deshaun Watson. I mean, this time of year is generally about this, but more than I can ever remember, we are all waiting for multiple shoes to drop before we figure out how multiple other parties are going to pursue.
So then let's just hit a couple of them right here. Donald, right? He says it's not about the money, but he also needs to make sure the business is right for him and his family, and he's at peace otherwise. I mean, that is code for they're talking about redoing his deal, right? Like, that conversation is happening.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. It is happening, but I don't get the sense he's saying, oh, I may retire just for contract leverage. I think he actually is considering retiring. And it makes sense because he's 30. He's one of the best to ever do it. He's made $100 million, and he's won a Super Bowl. So, like, if you told me that Aaron Donald is good to go, doesn't need to play anymore, I would say that's too bad because he's awesome, but I could see that, right? Now, obviously, for the Rams, there's a number where he would say, well, I can't turn this down. And we'll see if they get there. That's kind of where this all stands, I believe.
Don't they have to pay Kupp too? Isn't that being discussed as well?
I mean, Cooper Kupp would, I'm sure, like a contract extension. I believe that, I believe that's on the radar. And, you know, I mean, you know, every receiver has gotten paid. He certainly is productive, if not more productive than any of them. So, yes, I would think that is sort of on the radar as well for the Rams.
And then Jimmy G, really? Still on the 49ers. I mean, they have to turn to Lance, and they've got to give Lance the room to be the guy, win or lose. Like, that's the way it works when you trade up into the top three of a draft and give up all the draft capital for somebody. At some point, you must turn to him and go with whatever flow occurs. And not have him look over his shoulder. I mean, that's simple, I think. But it's stunning to me. It's stunning to me that's a possibility. Really, the Niners haven't turned the page from Jimmy G, regardless. In your estimation, Ian?
I mean, usually, I would say this. I think a little differently than what you just said there, because for me, it's like, you definitely want to turn it to Trey Lance. You believe he's the quarterback of the future. You trade all that capital to get him, which is already gone. So, in a way, it sort of doesn't matter because it's already been spent. You definitely want to turn it to him when he is ready. And that is what is so, 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 so interesting to me about the Garoppolo situation. This isn't Baker Mayfield, right? Because
right. He
does not have the kind of guaranteed money that Baker has. So if they wanted to trade Garoppolo, which they do, they could do it. You know, as soon as someone would take on a quarterback who had major arm surgery and has not, you know, to my knowledge, thrown yet, right? So I would say, you know, they'd like to trade him, but they don't have to. And if Trey Lance isn't ready and you have Garoppolo for $20 million and you can't trade him because he's not healthy enough in time to be traded, like, you got to let him get out there and compete. Like, what if he is the better quarterback? Like, no one dies if Trey Lance has to sit for another year. Doesn't hurt anyone.
Except maybe Lance's development, right? I mean, in year three? No, what I'm saying is that in year three, there won't be the ups and downs that they're trying to avoid in year two because Garoppolo's still there. I mean, there's still lumps to be had, right? I mean, and the sooner you get them out of the way, the better it is long term for everybody. Usually, that's the way it goes. Certainly when you don't have the first round. I know you're spent, but when you're sitting there smoking them if you got them when the rest of the draft is going through the first round in Kansas City next year, that's when it really hits. It does. You know?
And that's what's going to be so fascinating about this is, like, it is a fine line between putting a guy out there when he's not ready and having it go badly and not being able to recover. We've seen that sometimes. I'm not saying it's going to happen here, but right. that has happened in the past.
That's a risk.
And saying, all right, he's got to learn on the fly, and it's just time to go. Because the problem the 49ers have, and it's a major problem, is that their roster is good. And they, assuming that Deebo Samuel is on it, they should be ready to compete for a playoff spot again. And is it worth long-term development of your quarterback to sacrifice maybe that this year to have him learn on the fly? Or would you say, you know what? You just spent another year learning. That's fine. We have Garoppolo, who's literally took us to the playoffs last year and played amidst incredibly tough situations, including two injuries. Just give it to Garoppolo again and figure it out after the year.
So what is with Deebo as I send you on in your day? I mean, 1 month ago from this very day, we were in Vegas for the third round of the draft, and that's all everyone was talking about all week long, and now it's all quiet on the Deebo front. What's the deal with that? What do you think?
And Deebo was actually in Vegas while we were just hanging out, which was kind of funny.
That's odd.
It was very strange. He was downstairs at my hotel during day three when I was talking about him upstairs on the television.
That's
very strange.
Well, you should have gotten him upstairs. Is what you should have done. Certainly since we Ed Marinara'd you off the set at one point, so you could have had time to go downstairs and get him. So, you know,
what a great moment that was.
Yes, it was.
Basically, you know, I don't get the sense that they've had the conversations yet that would bring him back into the fold, right? Like, I know they would like to. I know Kyle can be very charismatic. I know they have major plans for him. I know they drafted a running back in the third round that would, assuming it works, would take some pressure off him, which I know he wants. They just aren't there yet. We'll see if they get there. You know, my guess, without really knowing, is that he's there at minicamp, but we'll see. If not, you know, the time right up around training camp will be fascinating to watch.
So, and I peeled on the mandatory minicamp set for later on this month. Another one to keep track of. Ian, thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Exactly. No, finish up. Go ahead. Finish up before I say
anything. I was going to say, like, one thing we've seen with mandatory minicamp is a player could be there and not do anything and
yes.
have it be just so he doesn't lose his money.
The old hold in? Is that what you're saying? The hold in? That sort of thing?
Which I believe Aaron Donald created.
He did, and then TJ Watt perfected, you know?
He sure did.
Pretty much.
Paid a lot of money.
All right, top four, all scoreless in Citi Field. Don't worry about it, man. You can go back to it. You didn't miss a thing. Appreciate
it. Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. There's Ian Rappaport of NFL Media Group at Rap Sheet and a diehard fan of the 34-17 New York Metropolitans.
It's so much. It's so fun.
Let's take a break. I just want to hit it one more. I keep hitting it. We're going to keep hitting it again and again and again.
Yeah.
The Lance thing, man.
Oh.
The Trey Lance thing.
I thought you want to talk about Ian's 49 on the front.
Nah, that's all right.
Well, I'd rather talk about the Mets' success.
The 49 I want to talk about is the Niners, not Ian's, you know, front nine score.
Ooh. It's not the 42 Michigan put on Ohio State.
That's still to come, too.
Oh, okay.
And also, I want to say to come, I mean August in Canton. Your phone call is 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And then, of course, we found out who the commissioner is of the Peterson Fam Fantasy League is.
Peterson.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's take Sideline Mike's call from Atlanta. How you been, Sideline Mike? What's going on?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on? What's on your mind? SEC coaches fighting. I knew I'd sniff you out that way. What's going on?
Give me a little latitude here when we're talking about the mouthpiece and the czar of college football. If NIL is going to get fixed, have you noticed not the only coach that got on a podium in front of some business leaders to get them to write a bigger check so they won't be behind Texas A&M, but to put it out there. And ever since King Saban made that statement, he might even get Congress to pay some attention to this because he is the only guy that's going to have – it's got the gravitas, as you like to say, Rich, to get everybody's attention and everybody's attention that can make something happen. Because you know that brother that I support. He's getting ready to get a $100 million deal. What did he tell y'all? He's only concerned about what's going on between them hedges. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Georgia doesn't have a collective? You know what I mean?
Oh,
I mean,
come on. Brother, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And when this is another thing, TJ, when they nationalize it, if you think you're going to get the boosters out of anything, I got a bridge I need to sell you, Rich. The booster's been paying everybody, all the way from Herschel getting that Trans Am to Eric Dickerson not talking about what he got. Now, let's break this thing down. Everybody is talking about NIL for the players, but you know who ain't getting NIL deals? The guys on the scout team, and I know you know who those guys are. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that simulate the offense and defense so the team can get ready. They're not getting a NIL deal. None of them. Now, after you built all them weight rooms, Rich, and after then built all those athletic facilities and the new offices and closed in the West Wing, what y'all doing with the rest of the money? And I'm talking about the TV money that the players will never get. They're not getting what the Golden Goose is really sitting on. They're getting the collective money and all the other money because, like my brother Bomani Jones said, what you always got to remember, and I don't care what this looks like, it's all about keeping them kids broke. Because 90% of them ain't getting an NIL deal. Now, if you want to make this thing right, you want to give the control that the coaches really saying they want back, you put it out there for them, Rich, and told them what to do. Make them employees, contract employees, get them unionized.
Right. And
let's get the salary cap. But that's what Nick is saying. See, you broke down what Nick is saying. You basically gave them the nuts and bolts on how it's going to go down when he's retired out there on that boat that that house that the athletic association paid for.
No.
You know? So, but at the end of the day, Rich, you got the key to making it right. He won't be there, but what I want everybody to remember is they're going to keep the majority of the kids broke because you'll never get a dime of the TV money.
Well, I appreciate the call, Sideline Mike. Thank you so much. Right. And look, here's the deal with you know, again, I don't think Saban is advocating for what I'm saying. I think Saban is advocating for some sort of rules that removes the boosters from the equation to keep the amateurism model as it currently is constructed. Whatever benefit that Texas A&M and others that are getting through their collective, he wants to have neutralized and then keep everything the same. I'm just saying the way to neutralize the boosters is to just professionalize the whole damn thing. I don't think anybody wants that on the coaching community or the in the academic, wings of management. College presidents don't want it. I don't think they want that at all. But that's the only way that you're going to do it. I think commissioners and athletic directors might just start thinking that way because they want some sort of consistency to plan and their budgets and things of that nature. So, and I also don't think Nick went up there saying, I need to give a wink, wink to these people to start putting money in my collective. I really don't think so. I think he wants to get the boosters out. The NIL is there to pay these kids for their name, image, and likeness when they're on campus. When they're at Alabama, you come to Alabama to win with me and enjoy our facilities and enjoy our campus and earn your education to become men in the world through the Alabama football program. That's what I want you to do here. And if you make some extra scratch on the side because we're Alabama and you're you, that's great. I'm fine with that. That's great. But this whole using this collective to entice people to now come to your school as opposed to not Alabama for all the things that I have out there, I want that fixed. I honestly don't think he went up there with an agenda to say, hey, everybody, put money in our collective. I really don't think so. I think deep down he just wants what's right for Alabama and what was so great for everything that the way he's done business to stay status quo and keep the NIL barbarians at the gate through these collectives. Get the hell out. Maybe I'm naive, but that's just the way I saw it. And I believe it. Now then, when you draft somebody at quarterback in the top 5, and you especially spend a ton of draft capital to get up to that position, you're starting a guy. You're starting a guy. At some point, first year, you can get through. You can get through with it if you got your veteran and you think the kid's not ready and you're still good enough to win and you've got the backing of your ownership and you've got a contract and you are secure and you are Kyle Shanahan, you could do that. And maybe you can do it in year two, too. As Ian Rappaport just said, Trey Lance isn't ready. It's better to just go with the veteran that knows the program and the locker room loves and keep him there. But at some point, you've got to hit the button to start him. Trey Lance. That's what happens when you do this. You don't sit around 2 years and wait to start the guy to see what's what. You don't waste half of the rookie contract model. You don't do that. I honestly believe that Garoppolo's there because he's not tradable yet. And they're not cutting him so the Seahawks could just jump on him. I honestly believe that that's the reason why that's happening. It's not like they were straining Garoppolo's trade right now because he can't perform. And by the way, that might be the case with Mayfield too, you know.
I think they're going to need him.
You think the Browns are going to need Mayfield?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Watson is for sure.
But that's why you have Jacoby Brissett. Win games with him and get Mayfield the hell out of there. Honestly, to play it out. Mayfield, hey man, you're there. 6-2, great job. You're out. Yeah, let's trade you. We'll put you on the trade market right now.
6-2, though, wouldn't his trade value be a little bit higher than it is at the moment?
Higher than the third round pick you get to just hold on to him and lose him through compensation? I doubt it. Who's going to want to get on Baker Mayfield in the middle of the season and just, what, to get their season back on track? Where he's got to learn a new offense in the span of a month and he's got to go out there? I don't. But that's just we've got all rest of the month to talk about that. And also this subject too. Trey Lance, you've got to turn to him at some point. You got to. And you got to take the good with the bad. And there will be bad unless you can potentially get this lightning in the bottle that the Chiefs got that 1 year and the Seahawks got that 1 year and the Steelers got that 1 year with Mahomes, Wilson, Big Ben. I mean, those are pretty much or Herbert. Herbert in his rookie year. And your team is good enough to supplement that. It is good enough. And yeah, he struggled in his starts last year. You know why? Because he was a rookie, didn't play the year before. He's now got a full year in this system. And all he said to us when we had him on that Zoom the Friday of the Super Bowl week was, get me the reps. Give me the reps. I'll get better. What are you going to do? Give the reps to Jimmy G and hope that in the 2023 season, when you're definitely going to have to turn him, see what you have? And then forego all of those first-round draft choices over the last 2 years just to have him sit and watch? I guess. I mean, Steve McNair sat 2 years. Steve McNair sat 2 years, and they used a first-round draft choice on him. I guess you can do it. Certainly when you've got the backing of ownership and you've got the backing of the locker room.
I have no idea how good he is.
But you have to. That's what happens. That's why it was so surprising to me that they traded up to number 3. Okay? They couldn't get any higher.
Where were they originally in that draft?
Like, I think 15, right in the middle of the first round. Or right around where they were before the Patriots. We're going to take Mac Jones.
10 or 12 or something.
That's what was so surprising to me is like when you trade up to go get a rookie quarterback like that, you're now in the rookie quarterback game. Which, as you could see, Tampa Bay tried to avoid and successfully have for the last 2 years with Brady. Denver avoided that for a couple of years with Manning. Some teams are just like, they don't want to go in that rookie quarterback direction. They just don't. Indianapolis is a good example. They did that with Luck. He retired on him, and then they kept on trying veteran after veteran after veteran to this point now with Matt Ryan. They don't want to get in the rookie quarterback game. Certainly first-round rookie quarterback game, because that puts so much of your football eggs in a basket, and the Niners went in that direction. And so at some point, you got to start him. This is the year to do it. Week one's the year to do it. And Jimmy Garoppolo not being there for the kid to look over his shoulder. Let him sink or swim, and I think he will swim. And you will have the opportunity to help him swim because you are Kyle Shanahan. You have this scheme, and you've got some incredibly talented players because I'm assuming Debo's going to be there. And you're going to have to get him going and get it going. Get the running game going. Get the ball in a better spot for Lance because your defense is damn good. And you're in the San Francisco freaking 49ers. And you saw Trey Lance. And you saw what you could see in Trey Lance. And Trey Lance is going to run and throw all over you. That's the attitude I think they should have.
I just think the pressure is really turned up because of what they gave up to get him at 3. If they would have just stayed at 12, made no move, they could have drafted him at 12. I'm sure he would have fell to them.
I don't know. You never, dude, you never know. You never know. You never know. Or you could have grabbed him, Mac Jones there, too. But guess what? Lance is incredibly talented.
I guess maybe.
And we don't know. We don't know. We have no frame of reference. Who the hell was watching North Dakota State, with all due respect, football when he was doing it? And then the COVID kept him to just one start. And then he gets drafted. And so with the lack of that.
He hasn't played football in 2 years.
Right, with the lack of seeing him. And then we saw him in 2 spot starts due to injury. And he didn't light it up. He didn't force the situation where it's just like, wow, this kid is so damn talented. He didn't pull a Justin Herbert, for instance, where he's so damn talented. Like, it's so obvious. He jumps off the screen, and then you just keep going from there, and he's your guy forevermore. And again, they didn't get that lightning in the bottle last year. And we're all assuming that bottle doesn't have the lightning in it for Lance, period. And I'm saying that I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Kid's talented. Coach is talented. Roster's talented. Let's go. What are you waiting for? Let's go. Go. Because 2023 will be better for it.
Unless the coaches see something that we don't.
Maybe that's the... I don't know, man.
That's the only thing I can really think of.
But Kittle sees it. Kittle sees it.
But also, Kittle wouldn't come on the show and be like, Trey Lance, meh.
Right.
You know.
Also, do we know the coach and the player are talented?
Yeah, I think we know.
43-44 career record. Under 500.
Dude.
Math majors.
Dude.
And never seen Trey Lance play football.
Dude, who is coaching the team with Jimmy Garoppolo to make the Super Bowl almost 2 out of the last 3 years? Okay? Come on, man.
You are what your record is.
I understand that. You are what you are. But what the Niners are a team that can win the Super Bowl this year. I think you can agree with that. And that's why everybody's like, well, it's got to be Jimmy G.
No, I don't think they can win the Super Bowl.
They almost did last year.
Because they had a veteran quarterback who's taken them there before.
Maybe this young kid can take them there with Debo and Kittle and the running game and let's go. And Ayuk's got year 3's out of the doghouse. Let's go.
Are you higher on the Niners or the Raiders?
Oh, I'm higher on the Raiders.
Okay.
I am. Look at me.
You're just writing checks.
The autumn wind is a pirate, and I am writing tons of checks that I can only hope Josh McDaniels and the pirate ship in Las Vegas, Nevada can cash. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show right after this. To play us out, we'll do it live. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. There's a new commissioner in sports, guys. Goodell, Bettman, Silver, Manfred. Trout.
Hey.
Commissioner Mike Trout, what are you talking about, Rich? You might be saying, well, you're not paying attention. And I don't mean to be aggressive, but that's just the only way you can talk about the Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson slapdown. That apparently came out of a fantasy football dispute that led to a meme, very mean meme, mean gif. Jock Peterson's very mean gif that pissed off Tommy Pham enough for him to slap him in the outfield, by the way. The outfield. Great band. Bad spot if you're Jock Peterson to run into Tommy Pham.
Outfield. They were very good.
Okay. And so we found out from Tommy Pham, the commissioner of this league, none other than Mike Trout, wow, injured last season, but had enough time
to organize
this. And the IR dispute apparently went down a Trout rabbit hole. Trout did nothing. Pham said Trout did a terrible job, the worst commissioner in fantasy sports because he allowed a lot of S to go on and he could have solved it all. Nobody wanted to be commissioner. I didn't want to be the effing commissioner. I've got other S to do. He didn't want to do it. We put it on him. It was kind of our fault, too, because we made him commissioner. Says Tommy Pham about Mike Trout. And we all know these fantasy commissioners. I'm the fantasy commissioner
nobody
of my poker league. I don't want to do it anymore.
It's terrible.
You get all the crap. You get the text of saying, I can't do this. I can't do that. Wait a minute. The waiver wire. That's my favorite one from Kedge. I'll call you out, Kedge. I get that all the time. Him and Murph.
Free Murph.
Him and Murph. The white bread twins. Those guys. Okay, they're the ones who are sending me texts like, wait a minute, where should be fifth on the waiver wire list and we're sixth, seventh. Can you redo? And I'm trying to put three kids to sleep.
Or if someone complains year to year about the format of the league. I mean, just imagine.
No,
the grief.
I've given you crap because the format of our basketball leagues are so bad, but not enough to prevent me from winning.
Oh, jeez.
You walked into that one.
I set him up.
Man.
You walked into that one. Look, nobody wants to be commissioner.
It's terrible.
Not even Mike Trout wants to be commissioner. But I don't understand this whole business. If Jeff Wilson of the 49ers, this is the player in question, has got an out designation, you should be able to put him on injured reserve. But Tommy Pham said, we had rules to the IR. I know the ESPN app rules. By the way, is ESPN loving the fact that they use their fantasy? Right. We had our own individual rules, which is the problem. Mike Trout, that's your first problem. Don't make individual rules. Set the rules. Go about your business. Yeah. No disputes like this. But here's the worst thing. Tommy Pham, how dare you? What is worse than anything in this league? The worst things you can do in fantasy, he did one of them. One of the worst things you could do is have a team and then don't pay attention to it.
Right.
It ruins the competition. Everyone else is trying. If you agree to do it, you have to go full bore. If you do not pay attention, I don't have time, I don't have this, I don't have that, and you're dealing with somebody who's got two jobs and three kids, and you don't pay attention to your team, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I have time. You don't have time. What are you doing? That's one of the worst things you could do. Unless you're Tommy Pham. He left the league after fifth week. Stopped. He quit.
I'm out.
Say I'm out. Why? Because it was a mean meme? Tommy. Because of the IR rules? I'm leaving. I'm quitting. So now Trout's got to find somebody. What do you go to Ohtani and say, hey, Shohei, let me show you the ropes of this thing?
Hey, you can take over.
Shohei, then you got to go around to people saying, can you take this team over? And then it's just like Tommy Pham didn't draft correctly. And you're like, I don't want it, that team. I don't have time. And you don't blame somebody for not taking on that responsibility.
Yeah, no good.
What's worse than somebody leaving a league in the middle of a season? What's worse? Is there anything worse in fantasy etiquette?
Fantasy etiquette. Now that's a show we can.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like not starting a lineup, but leaving.
That's what I'm saying. Saying that you're not paying attention, and so I need you to lose in fantasy, but you're playing the guy or gal who's not paying attention. So you get a win, and I'm working my ass off here for a W. I'm trying. Yeah. That's terrible. But what's worse than somebody leaving the league? Would you slap somebody over that?
Well,
you don't condone violence.
We don't condone violence. But Jock should have slapped him.
You imagine you're Jock Peterson, you're running the outfield, and you see Tommy Pham.
He's like, hey, what's up, Tommy?
Probably, because you could see he's probably one of those guys who's just like...
Tommy Pham seems
no-nonsense. Not thinking about
it. No-nonsense.
You think? You know what? I learned he quit the league. I'm like, I'm glad we came up with those top 10 fantasy... Fantasy team names for Tommy Pham. By the way, Tommy, we should make him get back in the league and use one of these team names. Wham Bam, thank you, fam. Although, I saw that back. I thought maybe Wham Fam, thank you, ma'am. Would that have been better?
Yeah, for the hit.
Fam.
For hitting.
Yeah, but
Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. Would that have been better?
I think we're overdoing.
I don't know. I'm workshopping here. I'm workshopping here. Mike Trout, the commissioner. It's tough being a commissioner, man.
Here's what I want to know. Has it been reported yet? What's the buy-in for this league?
Apparently, it's a lot of money on the line. How about Tommy Pham saying he's like a big guy at a casino or something like that?
Oh, is that what it happened?
I think he said something along those lines. I heard that. I'm like,
big guy.
Like Daly-esque?
And I'm sure all of a sudden Pete Rose is like, what league can I get in? What, a Reds talking about being big?
Ew.
Well, what?
Whoa, whoa.
Ew. Yeah, it's got to be a buy-in if you're getting this upset.
I mean, if you're in a fantasy league with Mike Trout, that's probably a deep end of the pool.
Yeah.
At least like a four. Is that a 4 or 5 figure buy-in? Another reason not to quit after week five.
Mid fours.
You're calling for the money.
A lot of money.
These Craig's things.
Tune in tomorrow for day 3 of our Fam Peterson coverage. See you Thursday.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.